Welcome to City Minutes. I'm Andrew Carter, and today I'm joined by my colleagues Catherine Enenkel and Eleanor Magrini. We're going to talk about the work they've been doing looking at the short-term and longer-term economic impacts of the COVID-19 crisis on towns and cities across the UK. Welcome to you both. Eleanor, let's start with you. You've been focusing on unemployment and, in a sense, the more immediate impact of the lockdown and how this has changed in cities and large towns across the UK. Can you just tell us what we've seen?
Yes, last week the first data about claim and counts post-lockdown was released, and that covers the period till mid-April, just before Easter. So it can give us a little bit of a sense of how employment has been affected by the lockdown and the pandemic. What we see is that there are approximately 2.1 million people in the UK currently claiming unemployment benefits. That means either universal credit or job seekers allowance. And that's an increase of 850,000 people compared to the previous month. One of the other things that the data shows is that no place has been left unaffected. Every place up and down the country has seen an increase in the number of people claiming unemployment benefits. And this increase has been largest in cities and towns in the North and Midlands, with places like Blackpool, Liverpool and Hull seeing an increase of almost 3 percentage points or over, which is quite a big increase.
You did previous analysis looking at when we first heard about lockdown, about the ability of places to work from home. What's the relationship between now what we've seen in terms of unemployment and the work from home analysis?
It's really hard at the moment to say what actually is behind these unemployment figures. It's likely that many factors will be at play there. What we do see, however, is that cities in the south of England, where we actually see a larger number of people being able to work from home, have been less affected by this rise in unemployment, whereas places that have seen the largest number and largest increase in unemployment benefits, people claiming unemployment benefits, actually have a smaller share of their economy that can be still conducted from home during this lockdown. So this might be one of the contributing factors explaining the differences we see across the country.
Great. That's a nice link to Catherine, because it tells us a little bit about thinking about and understanding the economic structure of places as a factor then is how they respond in the short term and also how they'll respond in the longer term. Catherine, you've done some work looking at that economic structure of different cities and towns across the country, and then beginning to think about how that might affect the strength of their economies as they come out of the lockdown period, and we get into returning to some form of normality. So, what did you find in the analysis that you did?
Yeah, my analysis, I looked at which sectors are most likely to be affected in the short to medium term and where they are located, just to get a sense and how likely the immediate geographic impact may be of the crisis, but also like in the medium term we are in now. So I was looking where maybe all these furloughed or laid off jobs across the UK. And for that, I grouped like the industries in different categories according to their expected probability to furlough or to lay off workers. And what I found was that around every city in the UK has at least 1 in 5 jobs classified as either very vulnerable or just vulnerable. That's the case for cities like Oxford, but also for Bradford or Sunderland. And that's mostly, as we know, because of the lockdown effects of the government's restrictions on local services, for instance, like on retailers, restaurants and hairdressers, which had to close. And that can be found everywhere across the country. Those kind of jobs make up 2/3 of all jobs estimated to be vulnerable. And I could see that there's not really a clear particular geography when it comes to these jobs. But when we just look at the location of the cities which have high shares of people employed in vulnerable and very vulnerable industries, it's everywhere. But cities ranking the best are definitely Oxford, Bradford and Worthing, all for different reasons. And then we have cities with very high shares of jobs in exposed industries. And those are cities where we can see particularly exporting industries. very dominant, such as, for instance, Crawley, Luton, and Derby. These jobs have are all very dominant in aviation. For instance, Crawley, more than half of the people are working in aviation, and for that reason, the city is probably very much affected in the medium run.
And you did the analysis in mid-April. Obviously, we're now late May, and we've already begun to see some of the announcements or some statements from big employers like Rolls-Royce, which are heavily dominating in Derby, that they're going to go through quite a significant redundancy program on the back of the longer-term effects and how their industries are going to be affected.
Yeah, exactly. So these may be exactly those workers which have been furloughed in the first term, so in the furloughing period, but maybe let off in the long run. This is why at this point there's a big intersection between people who may be still employed due to the job retention scheme, but may be laid off in the long run.
Excellent. Okay. Elna, coming back to you, the question turns to policy and what might be done, thinking about, you know, unemployment, the ability of people to move from maybe jobs that no longer exist into new jobs. Just give us a headline on what you think some of the policy choices or challenges are going to be facing the government over the next month or so.
Yes, I think there are two things to consider there. First of all, in terms of what we can do to support people going back to the labor market, we need to use the evidence of what we know works and has been working in the past. So, for example, the evidence shows that one-to-one support, targeted support, where unemployed people get targeted support from a coach, from a work coach, actually works. So that's something for the government to look at in the first instance. And then the second thing to consider is that not every group will be equally affected, and some groups will require more support from the government than others. And so they should be the ones that are the target of most of this unemployment support. And when I'm referring to vulnerable groups, I'm thinking, for example, at the long-term unemployed. I'm thinking, for example, about young people. We know the scarring effects of being unemployed when you're young have quite a big impact on the rest of your career. And the third group of workers is actually older workers. We know that fewer of them actually lose their jobs, usually during an economic crisis. But what we also know is that while fewer of them lose their jobs, of those who do lose their jobs, less of them are likely to go back into the labour market.
Catherine, just turning to you, we've heard again very recently that the government is thinking about whether it starts to support particular industries or even particular firms that are, you know, designated as being strategically important. Do you think that's going to be a much more prominent policy discussion in the next month or so?
For sure, for some industries, this will be a very important discussion, particularly as we know that there are some industries who are, in the end, responsible for the rest of the economy to be working. Let's just think about what I've said about the difference between exporting industries and local services. We know that the exporting industries or the people working there are actually creating the demand for the local services around. And we've already had a look at in my study, okay, how much actually are these different sectors affected? And we know that, or we assume that cities where the exporting base is very much affected by the crisis will probably have more difficulties to catch up because they cannot create the demand for the local services. So I think thinking about this makes definitely sense. But how this is then specifically created or how the support will look like, I think is very much then dependent on which industry they want to support. I think aviation may need different help than maybe car manufacturing, etc.
And an overarching concern that we've got in terms of the analysis that we've done, both in terms of the lockdown and the implications and the longer term, the worry we have in a sense is that the inequalities, the variation that we see between different places across the country actually gets worse over the coming months and years ahead, which then raises bigger questions for the levelling up agenda, which was very prominent 6 months ago, very prominent in the new government's manifesto. And I think coming back to that sooner rather later, there's going to be a significant move when we get there. Much more detail of the work we've been doing, looking at the short-term and longer-term economic impact of the COVID-19 crisis on towns and cities, is available on our website, centreforcities.org. Katrin and Elna, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.